I'd like to welcome everybody to this evening's webinar. It's a great opportunity for us to kick off this series of educational and training webinars around being brought to you by the Be Eager Initiative. And as you can see there, so it's Bowen Education and Advocacy, Generating Evidence and Research. So growing research capacity in Bowen Therapy and Oncology Massage. This is brought to you by a team of people guided by representatives from the Australasian organisations in Bowen Therapy and Oncology Massage. And it's been conducted in collaboration with Associate Professor Amy Steele and Professor John Adams, who are from the Australian Research Collaboration in Complementary Integrative Medicine at the Faculty of Health, University of Technology, Sydney. So they're our academic partners, and it's a very exciting initiative, and it's great to be kicking off this first one this evening. Tonight's webinar is an introduction to PROMs. So PROMs are patient-reported outcome measures. So we're going to have a practical introduction tonight. But first of all, this isn't just about research. It's about how we can have another tool in our toolkit when we are gathering information from our clients. So if we use PROMs as part of our clinical history taking, it'll improve our practice whilst at the same time collecting information that could potentially be used to write up a case report. So it's really quite an exciting thing because I think we can actually improve all of our practices, and we think about the information that we collect from our clients. So there's so many things that the questions that we ask our clients. It was interesting, there is some research that says that they did some research on how long it took a clinician to interrupt their client when they were talking to them, and it was actually 11 seconds. But however, if they let them talk, they stopped talking after 90 seconds. So I think we can let our clients talk and gather that information, and part of that story is great. But some of the things the information we get from our clients potentially, we'll ask them, where is their pain? So the site of pain. The onset, how long have I had it? Is it an acute presentation? Is it a chronic presentation? And maybe the consistency of that pain, is it there all the time? Or does it come and go? And maybe we ask them about the severity of their pain. I'm sure many of us as clinicians do that. So if you ask a severity and say, if you said to them, on a scale of 1 to 10, or 0 to 10, 0 being no pain and 10 being the worst pain imaginable, what's your pain like today? Now, that's called a numeric pain rating scale, and it's actually a PROM. So many of you already are using a great PROM. So that's that numeric pain rating scale. So we might ask about what aggravates their pain or their condition and what eases it. We might ask them what the nature of their pain is, what words they use to explain their pain to you. Sleep's another really important one when we're getting this information from people. So how well a person sleeps can have a great bearing on the way their pain presents for them and also generally for their overall health. We might ask about medication use. And that can be really important because maybe one of the outcomes that we find people are improving is actually their pain maybe hasn't come down very much. Maybe their pain's still a 5 out of 10, but they've drastically been able to reduce their pain medication. So once again, that is progress and something that we can find out about and ask our people about. We might ask them about their mental health. How are you just within yourself today? Can be a really important question to ask them. We might ask, do you have a diagnosis? And if you do have a diagnosis, who gave you the diagnosis? Was it a GP or a specialist? Was it Dr. ChatGPT these days, which is really a very common one, isn't it? Or was it next door neighbor? So having that information can be really beneficial as well. What other treatments have they had? And how successful have those treatments been in their view? And all of these things are subjective information. It's the information we're getting from our clients. What's changed recently? What's their perception of their overall health? Have they had any days off work? So to collect that information can be really important because all of a sudden, if through your intervention, they're not having those couple of days off work every fortnight, that once again, that's an improvement and you can document that. Have they had any imaging or tests? And once again, that comes into as one part of the picture, doesn't it? And even just asking about their energy levels can be really important and some really good information. And I've got at the bottom there that it's important to revisit this information because we don't just ask it at the first time we see our clients. It's really good to ask it again and again. Collecting good information is the first step to good patient care and good quality research. So I hope you didn't mind me taking that. But this is one of the meetings we're having. We were talking about setting up these webinars. And that was just a great statement, I thought, and really goes to the heart of what we're looking at with these webinars and the Be Eager initiative. So what is a PROM? Big long sentence here. A validated questionnaire completed directly by the patient to assess their symptoms, functional ability, or quality of life, providing a standardized way to measure health outcomes from the patient's perspective. Now, let's just break that down a little bit. A validated questionnaire. So what's that mean? It means that it's undergone formal scientific testing to ensure that it accurately measures what it intends to measure. For example, a shoulder PROM must actually measure shoulder function, not just, say, general well-being or mood. So they can give really reliable results. So they can be really accurate when the same PROM is done at another time. Now, if it's completed directly by the patient, that's really important because it validates what the client is actually thinking and feeling. And actually, they get to write it down or they get to mark it off. It's not our objective view of what they're saying to us. It's their subjective information, which is just really important. Now, it assesses their symptoms, their functional ability and quality of life. There are different types of PROMs. And we'll have a look at the different sorts of PROMs in a moment. So some look at symptoms, some look at disease, and some look at quality of life and general well-being. Now, it also is, PROMs are pre-tested. So they're structured questions. So two patients with the same condition can be assessed and using identical wording and scoring. So it's so standardized. So scores can be compared between patients or between clinics, between different types of treatments. And we can progress, we can track the therapist as they progress. And as I said before, it's from the patient's perspective. And that's really important. And that's what this is really all about. Now, a couple of different types of PROMs. So you can have one that looks at a disease or is condition specific. So maybe, for example, the DASH, the D-A-S-H, measures upper limb disability. So the disabilities of the arm, shoulder, and hand. Whereas the FSS is really symptom specific because it looks at the fatigue of the person. So the fatigue severity scale, the FSS. So not looking at their pain or their condition or their range of motion, it's really focused on their fatigue. And another one can be a global one. And this is what we're going to have a look at tonight because it's going to be one of the PROMs that we're looking at using within our initiative here. And this is the EQ5D5L. And we have a really good look at that tonight. So that looks like a bit of a goblet at the moment, but you're going to be right across it by the time we finish this in a little while. So that assesses general physical and mental well-being and can be used for really broad health status comparisons across quite a few different patient types and different conditions. So as we progress, we're going to give guidance on appropriate PROMs and we're going to teach you how to use specific PROMs. So why use PROMs in a clinical setting? Well, they improve decision-making because we can make decisions based on not our subjective impressions, but on what the clients are actually telling us. So they can actually track whether your treatment or your intervention is making a difference. Is it working? Potentially, you can see if it's getting worse, which may then help make a decision to refer. And it helps us to tailor these interventions more precisely. They also enhance patient engagement and communication. Patients feel heard and involved, not just treated. So they get greater ownership of their recovery. And they may then do the exercises you set them or drink more water or do whatever you ask them to do, because they're actually involved in that process. And it helps to build a stronger therapeutic rapport. And we know that therapeutic alliance, which is where you've got the client likes the therapist, gets along well with the therapist, can make such a big difference in a person's outcomes and in their health. So helping to build that therapeutic alliance is really important. And PROMs do that. And they obviously demonstrate treatment effectiveness. So they provide measurable outcomes that can show improvement over time, the value of our service, and give objective evidence that we can show for referrals, potentially if you're going to send somebody on, or for collaboration in like the case that we're doing now, perhaps potentially for research, or also for insurance, potentially, because if someone's coming to you and they're having their insurance claim or work cover, and you want to prove that or show that your intervention is helping that client, and therefore they may should stay with the program, PROMs are a great way to do that because you're capturing this really objective information. They also capture, in research, they capture a patient's perspective directly. So they're firsthand, the patient or the client fills it in, it's their information, and it's really patient-centered evidence. It helps researchers to measure sort of real-world experiences, and some subjective symptoms can't be observed clinically. And these are some of the outcomes that matter most to patients because we're getting the information from them. So it shifts research from a provider-focused outcome to more of a patient-centered evidence. Also in research, PROMs enable standardized comparable data studies so the data can be compared from different studies. So it helps to build the strength of research. So if someone's going to do a meta-analysis, which is where they look at a whole lot of similar studies and compare them, all the information, or a systematic review, which is looking at all the information that's collected on a subject and reviewing that, it becomes really robust and they're really high value quality research. So findings are reproducible and reliable, which is what research really needs. So we can look at measure for treatment effectiveness and value, help determine whether interventions truly improve the things that we want them to improve in our patients and what patients want or clients want, pain, function, help in their daily activities, their general well-being, and also overall quality of life. And also, they're essential for evaluating new treatment methods and comparing different therapies, comparing one intervention against another one to see which one, potentially in this case, may be more beneficial. So better value for money, potentially, with better outcomes. And also justifying healthcare funding and policy decisions. If we look at what the review did for private health funds in Australia, this is exactly what they were using, was this type of research to justify the healthcare dollar and whether what therapies were effective. And the only way they knew they're going to be effective was if there was research around that and therefore guiding those policy decisions. Now, how are we going to do this? We're going to have some education. We're going to do some webinars, a series of webinars, and there may be other webinars that come up around some training. So people may say, I reckon my initial hesitation could be a lot better. I wonder if we conduct some training around that. Potentially, we'll see what comes forward and see what we need to do. But certainly education is going to be a really big part of what we're going to be doing over this pre-implementation stage of this initiative. So we're also going to produce some resources. So for example, a clinical handbook to guide you on the implementation of PROMs into your practice. And there's going to be support. So the idea is that we have peer support and we may even have network supports. So you're not going to be thrown to the wolves with this. It's really going to be guided and so that we can really work as an industry to develop our research capability. So we're going to have, this is the first one, this familiarization of the pre-implementation webinar series. And this is the first one we're doing now. And there'll be another one on how to engage patients to complete PROMs, because it may be new for your patients or your clients that maybe never used PROMs before. So a way to do that. And also how to use PROMs and the different instruments that we're going to be looking at. So how we select it, how we work it out, how we score it, and how we interpret the results. And also the fourth one will be on how do we go implementing PROMs and using this practical guide to implementation. So I'm looking forward to these subsequent webinars, which will be presented by experts, and to as we roll out this pre-implementation stage and we get ready to press the go button. So let's have a look at a practical example of a PROM. And as I said, we're going to have a look at this EQ5D5L. And I've got here a short, I think it's 2.5 minute little video on the EQ5D5L. And we'll have a look at that. And then we'll take it from there.
Explaining the EQD in about 2.5 minutes. To make healthcare decisions like whether a new medical treatment really works, or if it offers good value for money, or what the impact is of a certain condition, we need to be able to measure people's health. One way we can do this is by looking at length of life and quality of life. While length of life is easy to measure, quality of life is more subjective, but we can measure it by asking patients standard questions about different aspects of their health. The EQ5D is a questionnaire that's been used worldwide. It's short, simple, and is one of the world's most popular measures of health outcomes. It was developed by the Euroqol Group, an international network of researchers. The questionnaire is made available by the Euroqol Research Foundation, a registered charity in the Netherlands. The EQ5D measures five dimensions of health: mobility, self-care, usual activities, pain and discomfort, and anxiety and depression. Patients tick boxes to show how they're feeling in each of these dimensions. They also rate their overall health using a visual analog scale that looks much like a thermometer. All this gives us a description of a person's state of health. This description is then converted into numbers, which can be used to inform healthcare decisions. The EQ5D is available in more than 200 languages. Its flexibility allows people to complete it with paper and pen, digitally, over the phone, in face-to-face interviews, or through caregivers. And the EQ5D is evolving. The original gives people three response levels for each dimension. The newer EQ5D5L offers five levels to pick up more subtle differences in health. There's also a child-friendly version, the EQ5DY. Because it's generic, the EQ5D is versatile enough to compare health across different types of patients, diseases, and treatments. Extensive research shows that it's a robust, reliable, and responsive way of measuring health in a wide range of conditions and populations. And the EQ5D's simplicity makes it easy to use in routine measurements, health surveys, and clinical trials. The EQ5D, helping the world make better health decisions.
Okay, that sounds complicated, but it's not.
To find out more, visit www.euroqol.org.
Good. Go there. They've got an amazing amount of resources. So as I said, that does sound a little bit complicated, but actually it's not. So what we're going to do, you are going to now complete, in the comfort of your own home, the EQ5D5L. Now, it's called that. It's got five dimensions. So you can see the different dimensions there: mobility, self-care, usual activities, pain, discomfort, anxiety, depression. And there's five levels for each. And I'll pop this up here now. For each descriptor, there's five levels. So you'll see there that if you'd like to get out a piece of paper, or if you've actually got one there, you can actually do this now. So if you look at the first one here, under each heading, so it says to tick one box that best describes your health today. So you just read through those and you think, what mobility, I have no problems with walking around, would be a one, and right through to I'm unable to walk around, then you would give yourself a five. So what I'd like you to do now is just to take 1 minute and just go through and work out what you, and what you'll finish up with is a, you may have, you may be, a, and you put the numbers in line, you might have a, you might be a 2, 3, 1, 1, 1, 1, or something like that. So just go through that now and just work those, tick those off. I've even got a little bit of music here while we do thick music. enough of that. How'd you go? Okay, I actually can't see people there at the moment, but I'm just wondering if we've had enough time there. As you complete that, you'll come into a number. So, as I said, you may have those numbers written down in a line going from mobility, personal care, usual activity, and you'll finish up with a five-letter number. What the algorithm does then, it pops it into a score. So you finish up with a health value. Now, don't worry too much about that at the moment. We're really just having an overview. That's the first part of the assessment. And as you can see, it wasn't really difficult to do. And your clients would probably only take quite a short amount of time to do that. The second part is the where we score our health. So that over out of 100, so the scale is 0 to 100. And how good or bad is your health today? So what you do is you pick a number and you mark it on the scale, on the Virtual scale. And then you write the number where it says your health today equals, and you write the number in there. And really, that's all there is to it. That is the EQ 5D5L. And what happens is this information, we take this information when we score it. We're not going to talk about how we score it today. That's going to be down the track. But it's not difficult, but it gives us a real idea of what's happening. So if we say here, we've got Nadia here, and she's got some osteoarthritis. She does the score and she finishes up. That's her number there. She gets a 53342. So she can't move around. She has got some depression. So she finishes up with this EQ value of 0.172. That doesn't mean much as a number itself. Now, at the end of the study, she has some intervention and she now comes up, she answers the same questions and she comes up, her numbers have changed here, which then equates to a 0.477 EQ value. And the difference between those two numbers then represent the increase in health-related quality of life at that time. And that's how that can be used. As I said, we're just doing a little introduction tonight, but you can see how simple it is to do the PROM, but we can get some really valuable information. And this is that's the website address there for the EuroQol.org. And they've got a lot of educational information on there. So if you're keen to jump in and have a bit of a look around, just go in there and have a look anyway. And this is just one of the PROMs that we are anticipating using as we go forward. So, in summary, what have we looked at? We've had a look at how vital good subjective information recording is and its clinical value to you and to your client. We've looked at what PROMs are, and we've had a look at the several different types of PROMs, and also the value in the clinical setting and also in the research setting as well. We've had an example of a PROM, we filled it in. And so we've had an idea to experience what the PROM is there. And we also looked at what the next webinars will be covering. So now we've got to a question time. So I'm going to try and get my screen up because I can't quite see.
So there's a question about the questionnaire. Will the website explain how the 53342 becomes a yes?
There's going to be some great education down the track. Barb, would you like to speak to that potentially?
Yes, definitely. That's a really great question. And we are hoping that we will get some teaching from Associate Professor Amy Steele in terms of how to use the prompts that we have been advised by Arkham would be the best suited for our research priority areas. The webinar on how to use the prompts, how to score and interpret the results, we'll go into that in detail. And there will be further follow-ups depending on how people feel about being confident in using them and interpreting the results. So this is what Chris was talking about earlier, where through the peer support that we hope to give through resources like them, through the user guide and through our peer support networks, we hope that we'll be able to cover off on as people develop and maybe use these in practice and then develop more questions about as they're finding things in practice, we'll be there to support you as you start using these. But I also wanted to say that until people have completed the four webinars and have registered to become a PROMS using clinician, we don't actually want people to start using them with their clients yet because until we understand well how to use them, how to teach our patients how to use them, and how to interpret the results, we may not be getting good quality data. Please be patient with us. We're developing this as we go along and on the basis of the feedback we get from you, the practitioners who will be starting to engage with this. And over the next 12 months, the pre-implementation phase will hopefully start to make things a whole lot clearer and answer a lot of your questions.
Thanks, Barbara. So I'm gathering that, and how I understand what we're doing here is not about just gathering information for use down the track. It's actually for us to be able to use and understand and utilize directly with our clients. So we can give our clients direct feedback from the information they're giving us when they're filling in the prompts.
That's a very good point that you're making, Matt. So this is what Chris was talking about, how even using these prompts just directly in our clinics can actually help us to adapt our treatment plans, to understand what our patients' priorities are. Amy, in our discussion when we were looking at developing this webinar, talked about the fact that a client had some very successful reduction in pain. But what was actually really important, because they've been living with chronic pain for quite a long time, for them, it was about a quality of life issue around fatigue. And so being able to capture some of those priorities helps us to be asking those questions and then also adapting our treatments and also monitoring those kind of things so that we know that we're actually hitting the mark for our patients.
Right. Okay.
Matt, there's a number of technical questions about the PROM being asked, and this is probably not really the forum. I think in two webinars' times, this is where we're going to be diving deep into the actual PROMs, because this is just one of the ones we're looking at. And a lot of these technical questions will be certainly answered then by by the experts, I think, which will be the spot for that. So certainly, I'm looking forward to the webinars where a lot of these will be used. How the algorithm works and generates EQ value. Don't worry too much about that at this point. Just know that it does, and that we'll get to, and we'll learn a lot. We'll all learn a lot more about it with that. Someone's
And
asked, yes, Matt.
so I guess, Chris, any of the prompts, whenever we're using any prompts, we're evaluating change for somebody. So in a way, it doesn't matter how someone's presenting or what they're presenting for, a prompt using one is measuring change from one appointment to the next.
Gathering that data so that it may be used down the track, which
Yes.
is what the idea is. Yeah. Now someone's asked whether it's going to be used for every client. Now you don't have to use them at all, but it may be some clients they're appropriate for and some they're not. So that will be once again something that will be talked about in subsequent training about who's going to be appropriate for a PROM and for what condition it may be used for. It's not like everybody has to do any. Nobody has to do anything actually, but really, I think we can. As a collective, as we get more information and absorb this and start to roll it out, I think we'll find that it's going to be just so valuable down the track. And as we talk about in our training, this is a 10-year project that we've started here, Barb.
Yes, definitely. Be Eager at this stage has a 10-year implementation plan or vision. This first part, this pre-implementation, will take about the next 12 months, and then there will be that sort of implementation. And during that time, we'll be monitoring and evaluating how things are gone, whether we need to do more follow-up training and that sort of thing. And things will be adapted over the next period of time. But yeah, it's a long-term process.
I apologize to, I think Mel's asked, why am I using the term patient? We're told to use the word client. I think they're interchangeable a little bit depending on which side of the street you're sitting on at the moment. But don't worry too much about it. Call them clients, that's okay. I just every now and then. Is there another question there, Matt?
Eleanor has just put her hand up, so maybe if we just invite her to come on. Eleanor.
Hi, yeah, I think something the question is, are strong research tools because all of the questions are validated. The reason these tools are selected by Barbara is because they are already strong and respected in the research community. So we might, I don't know, Barb, we might be able to fine tweak them, but their value is that they are recognized not just in tactile therapies, but in medical research as well. Excuse me.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Matt, can I just respond to that? I just wanted to clarify, I didn't actually identify these prompts. the advice they were provided to us on advice from John Adams and Amy Steele. So we've had scientific advice in terms of which prongs are the most useful to use. And they were selected on the basis of the fact that they're free. Some prongs are cost to use. They're easily used in clinical settings. So most of them only take a few minutes to complete. And they're fairly easy to interpret once you understand how to do that. But don't get hung up on trying to understand the technical aspects of it at this stage, because you will be trained adequately in terms of how to use them and how to use the information that you get from them.
Great,
Thank you.
thanks, Barb. The word patient is used in the acronym PROMS, and it's part of that word is it's a more universal across the health industry, and that's part of why it's used mainly. But as someone indicated, we are trying to use client, but we, as long as we're respectful in how we're talking to our people, that's how it works, isn't it? Question, Chris, is this tool new in health? Is it something that's going to be used only for Bowen?
This is really, we're almost late to the party a little bit, I think. PROMS have been around for a long time because it's been found so useful. So any research that you've seen over the years will have outcome measures, and that's how they determine the value of the research. So they've got to use something they can measure. So now PROMS have been around for a long time, but we haven't been using them in a formal sense in Bowen therapy. But as I said, anyone who's been using a numerical rating scale for someone's pain and saying, how do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10, you've been using a PROM. No, they're not new.
Question. So, what other fields of practice, is chiro, physio, is already using PROMS in Australia? I think one of the great things about Amy being part of what we do is she's done this with the naturopathy industry. So, what we're doing, so it's not new for her. And I think you can probably speak to more of that to Chris.
Barbara, probably.
I was just going to say, so as in that little video, they talked about how this particular PROM that you've demonstrated tonight is used globally. So in any field of healthcare, it can be used where a patient or a client is being treated, because that's exactly what they're designed to do, is to get the patient or the client's perspective or information about these particular domain, whatever domains it is that the PROM might be seeking information about. Yeah, they're routinely used. And as Chris has said, Bowen therapy and to some extent probably oncology massage are a little bit late to the party. But hey, we're here and we aim to make an impact. Yeah, so sometimes a late entrance is just that, creates a bit of drama. An impact. So let's do that as a profession or as two professions.
Thanks, Barbara. Chris, do you want to take that next question from Kim?
Yeah, it says, don't you think how much this change can affect the subjective report of a client? I always love getting a question from a researcher. So I think, so I don't think how much is charged can affect the subjective report of a client. Is he talking about charging for that? I'm not quite sure, Kehoe, exactly what you mean there. I think it said changed, but it says charged. I'd like to rewrite that in the Kehoe, if you wouldn't mind. And just in the meantime, if you would pop that in again, Kehoe, if that's what you mean, or just ask it again. Kate Butler, would you like just to, there's a question here, will oncology massage be included, whether it be Kate or Eleanor?
Absolutely. Yes.
I love
Yes, we are partners in this project. The answer is yes.
And we have a lot of focus on intake. We have extensive intake procedures in oncology massage now. Has always been for the last 25 years.
the beauty of this collaboration, Chris, isn't it? That we've all got amazing skills that we already utilize, and it's how we bring them
Absolutely.
together to build on those strengths. What Bega is going to be all about.
Absolutely. And we are more than the sum of our individual parts already. I think we've been just staggered at what we've been able to achieve by collaborating and combining our skills and our experience. Yeah. And a big part of that is going to be the practitioner engagement, because if our practitioners are not engaging with clients and producing, collecting this information where it's appropriate, then basically it won't happen.
Simon's got a question there. So the tool exists and we are trying to modify it for Bowen's use. No, we're not. We need to use the standardized tool that have been developed over a long time. And so we're not modifying for Bowen. It's just that Bowen and Oncology Massage are going to be using these tools to record the data.
There's a question, the previous information Zoom's recorded for others to view on the BEAG website. Yes, there is a modified version of the initial webinar there on the website. Some of the associations have it in their members area as well to view the full extent. It's too big to actually put on the website itself, but there is a version with all the highlights of Barbara and Chris and many others involved on the website. And lots of your questions will also, as I said earlier, help flesh out our frequently asked questions page, which is already substantial. It's awesome.
There's a question there just on, and Shari has said again that Eleni asked a question re the vision impairment. I was reading, so I just go back to basically saying that she scored a, I can't find the question now, scored a five on the questionnaire because she has trouble with mobility because she's vision impaired. But that's not what the prom was asking. The prom was asking more around the condition that it might be for. Say it was a person with osteoarthritis, the prom was about your ability to move with the osteoarthritis, not necessarily the ability to move with the vision impairment, but I would stand to be corrected on that. And once again, that's going to be like another one of those technical questions that would be great to ask down the track when we're starting to look at how these are scored and how they're used. Yeah, so thanks for that one. We haven't got any other questions here at the moment.
Matt, there was a question, and Chris, there was a question about what ARCHM stands for.
Yeah,
So
thanks.
ARCHM stands for the Australian Research Consortium in Integrative and in Complementary and Integrative Medicine. And it's actually an international, it's a global consortium. John and Amy are often overseas doing similar capacity building to what they did with myself and Eleanor 4 years ago now.
Absolutely. So as we're well backed, aren't we, as a group, incredibly well supported by John and Amy in what we're going to be pursuing, both through their experience they have in other areas, but also with that incredible knowledge they have of tree health as
And
well.
with other professions. So John and Amy have worked with the Chiropractic Association in Australia, under the ACORN initiative that they ran around research capacity building. They're working with the Osteopathic Association in Australia and potentially overseas, doing similar sort of work. And the type of research capacity building that they support depends on where that profession is at in terms of what's required. A lot of other professions are, the research capacity building is more about writing up literature, publishable literature, that sort of thing. Bowen therapy and to some extent oncology massage practitioners, we're at a different stage in our capacity building. And so that's where we're pitching this particular initiative.
Thanks, Barb. I've just popped in the chat the what ARCHM means. I can never get my head around it myself anyway. So there it is. If you want to download that one. All right. Were there any other questions? I suppose that I was wondering how people felt about having a go at filling in a prom, and you may have done some in the past in other healthcare settings, but we were keen to, Rosemary, we were keen to just give that opportunity for people to fill it in to see how it felt as if you're a client filling that in. Did you want to speak to that at all?
Yeah, I think we've had lots of questions about how to use it and how to interpret it. But really, tonight was about just exposing you to a prom because we've had lots of questions from people going, what are they? And you have already done them if you've visited some sort of medical person. So it's about doing it. How did it feel to do it? And you thinking about what sort of information do I already collect? How am I collecting it? What's the conversation around how I might actually introduce this in my clinic? So it's really just beginning to think about it. And as has been said by Barbara and Chris and Matt, there's three more webinars to come, which are going to be the learning experience for you to understand more about it, how to use it, when to use it, who I might use it with. So yeah, that's what we were doing tonight. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Rosemary. I see Kehoe has responded there and has given us a bit more information on what you're saying. And very valid comment too, Keith, that for those that can't quite see the chat, clients may feel more positive in filling the form in with a free treatment. I have experiences with clients who are financially in difficult situations. They cancel the second appointment after attending the first session, so financial burden can affect the course of sessions. And that's very true. And I suppose that's true with any healthcare setting if we're looking to. But the beauty of what we're looking at here over the long term is generating data that can be used by somebody who may be going to do a study, who may use our collective data for that study. But I hear what Keo is saying, you do need a number of touch points with that patient. You need that prompt filled in more than once to make it data at the moment. Otherwise, it's just an interesting side point. So that's.
Could I make a comment about that, Chris?
Yes, Barbara.
I think there's an opportunity with the prompt to maybe learn more about, as we've already talked about tonight, about what the patient's interests are in terms of their healthcare. And it may be that they choose, when you are looking at where you put your limited financial resources, you really want the best bang for your buck. And so the prompt may actually help with that conversation with your client. Help you to actually adapt your treatment to what is the area, is it their daily activities that they is really important to them? Is it their pain levels? Is it depression, for instance? Even looking at some of those domains on the EQ that we've just looked at today. So if they feel like you're more interested in targeting, how can what I do help you with this particular area of your healthcare? Then again, there's more incentive, as was already discussed tonight, to comply with a plan that you come up with, that you've negotiated with that patient. Just throwing that out there as well.
Yeah, great comment, Barb. I see Simon's got a question there, which is a great question. The tool probably works with teaching it during Bowen training. So practitioners learn how to take new records. And that's exactly right. And certainly all of the training organizations involved, whether it be oncology, massage, or Bowen therapy, we're certainly looking at and getting together on how we can improve or incorporate the training of PROMs for new practitioners or new students come through. So it'll be basically what they always did, not something new as new practitioners come through, which is quite exciting. Okay. Just some stuff around there saying about, are we doing enough marketing? I think we need to get out there and yes, people say, what's Bowen therapy? That's an ongoing opportunity all of us have to tell the world about Bowen therapy. But I think if we can start this process of generating data that can be used in higher level research or beginning or the start of people looking at what Bowen therapy is to help us get the information out there is what we're about.
Inga's just has her hand raised, Chris. Invite her on.
Sorry, Inga, I can't see.
Just unmute yourself, Inga.
Good. Here we go. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Thanks, Matt. I work with questionnaires anyway in my training and in my practice, but I think these questions are quite simple, quite clear, and I think especially for beginners, students, it's quite a good template to use, actually. I think it's brilliant. What I also like to suggest is so maybe think about the question, what when you ask your client, what is the outcome? What would you like from your treatment protocol or from the sessions? So what would you like to achieve? And then make a note of that in the sheet and or the client card, and yeah, just have that to fall back on every time you see the client. And that's a more measurable, less subjective way sometimes to find out what the client experienced, because often, as you probably all have that some clients just say, oh, nothing changed. It's the same. I know Pauline called them the J clients, just the same. And when you ask questions before your first session, then of course you can fall back on that already and say, oh, you'd said you had 10 headaches last week, and how many do you have now? And then basically they're answering the same, their own question or their own doubt. And that is a lot more valuable than you telling them that things have changed when they don't perceive it. And I think if you add the value of the what the outcome might be from the client's point of view, then again you have something to measure against. So just as a suggestion.
Yeah, thanks, Inga. Exactly right. And as I said, If the client, we give the client more buy-in, then often it works a whole lot better. Another way of doing it, as we said. Thank you.
Matt, can I just make a quick comment going back to the question about marketing, please?
Yes. All right.
I just wanted to make the comment that you would see on the Be Eager website the vision statement, and moving towards the latter part of that 10-year period, we hope that oncology massage practitioners and Bowen therapists will be seen as more trusted messengers. Now, trust in the broader health system is often built through providing validated information, and PROMs are our way of becoming more trusted in us being able to market what we do, because we have got evidence-based information about the benefits or the changes that occur through our treatments, which are used widely in the health system. So we're basically saying we're using the same tools as yours. We're using the same tools to get feedback from our clients, and they're telling us, and we're telling you that they're telling us Bowen therapy works, oncology massage works in these ways for these conditions. So there's definitely a very strong link between marketing and what we're doing with PROMs. And you'll see that stepped out a little bit in the vision on the Be Eager website.
There's a couple of questions we get to work through. Is the questionnaire something that can be emailed? It's a bit of a techie problem, but it's something that we can
I
answer
think
quickly.
down the track, Matt, the one above that is similar as well, saying it has to be simple not to take the client time, much time, so they've still got time for treatment. And the one after that from Shari is it something that can be emailed out prior to treatment? All of these questions are we going to be explored and discussed in subsequent how we implement this into our practices. So we're really going deep into this and thinking about how we can get this information to you so this can be as easily implemented into your practice as possible. It's always a bit like watch this space.
It is, and I think everybody will get to implement into their practices in a way that works for them, won't they? Like it's not us as a group telling you how you've got to do things. We're going to explore, as you said, going exploring different ways that you can do it, and you're going to be able to adapt it and adopt it in a way that works for you and your clients, and the way that hopefully opens you up to more experience and greater success with clients rather than put pressure on you and close you off and make it harder for you. There is a question about the worksheet that was part of the emails out, Barbara or Rosemary.
Rosemary.
Tonight, you've had a really great opportunity of being part of a good quality conversation. And that's the reflective process that we go through when we think about what we've heard and how it applies to us and how other people are thinking about it. Anybody that views this as a recorded webinar isn't going to be so much involved in that. So the worksheet is really about reflective thinking. From the BTFA members' perspective, this worksheet forms part of CPE qualification for gaining points. So we ask people to fill in these questions and send them back to us. It means there's a lot of work for the CPE committee, but we really feel that reflective process is about our learning, what we learned from what we've heard, how we're going to apply it. It also poses the question, what do I actually need to do? Is there something I need to learn or extend my understanding of to be able to do something that I've heard tonight? So that's what the worksheet's all about. You can choose to use it. I really encourage you to. It also had the notes on it. So I find it good to keep everything in one place. And if you're going to be someone that moves through the process and does all four webinars, then yeah, this is going to form part of the qualification at the end.
Thanks, guys. I did tr attempt to make sure that they were usable as a digital version as well as a printed version. So you should be hopefully able to fill them out on the PDF or the Word.
Thank you for that, because I provided in a Word format. I don't have all of those IT skills, so I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Okay. I think we've pretty much got to the end. There's a question from Sue. Do we have a timeline for where you would make the decision on the PROMs? We go in our initial webinar, we did actually talk about a range of things, five areas that the PROMs would cover.
There's two questions that are fairly linked, I suppose, almost about the timeline for when you make a decision on which PROM you go with. And also, is it okay for people to be anonymous? So looking at confidentiality questions around using PROMs.
Yes, there will be more information in the webinar about how to complete and score the prompts around who you will choose, or who do you think might be, how do you use the prompts with clients, which clients would you use them with, etc. The priority areas for research are on the BEAGLE website, so you can have a look at those. Each of those areas is national health priority, and so therefore has a lot of interest to most practitioners in the healthcare setting, and including the government, in terms of how can we reduce the costs to the healthcare system by managing people's care better. And that's where we want to throw our hats in the ring. And what was the second part of your question,
More
Chris?
about data, about confidentiality of data and
Oh,
things.
confidentiality. You may, I'm not quite sure how Amy's going to advise us about storage of this information in our clinics, but certainly once the data is goes beyond your clinic, it will be de-identified. So yeah, confidentiality and privacy is really important, and it's also really important that you comply with your usual standards of story information storage and that sort of thing in your clinic. So those sorts of things you would already be doing as ethically as a practitioner anyway. Yeah, that I think obviously it's really important to observe confidentiality and privacy, but you would be doing that with your patient notes and that sort of thing anyway. Yeah, they wouldn't necessarily be anonymous in your clinic, but they would be de-identified once they went beyond that setting.
Great. Thanks, Barbara.
So just I'll read off the website, Barbara. For bone therapy, the topics are, or the areas are, arthritis management, depression from chronic pain, lower back pain, headaches and migraines, including concussion management, mental health, well-being and function. They're the sort of bone therapy topics. And for oncology massage, it's pain management and anxiety and well-being management. So there'll be specific prompts to for each of those. We haven't got the numbers like Chris had for the one we did as a demonstration today listed there, but they're the areas that priority, as we said, the priority research topics that we'll be covering initially.
Great. Thanks, Matt. We've just hit just over the hour, so I think it may be we've and the questions have slowed, which is great, but fantastic to have so many questions. Unless anybody else has something pressing to say, a question on the next timing around the next webinars, Barbara, we've got some looking early new year.
I think that's the education group will work out that timing, but I would suggest probably around March, not too early in the new year. We want people to have a wonderful and safe break over Christmas and come back refreshed and energized for the new year. Yeah, probably late, I would suggest late February, early March, but you guys will
Yeah.
get the schedule out very soon, I'm
Yeah, we've got
sure.
some work to do in the meantime. So.
Got a meeting coming up that's on the agenda, Barb.
Yeah.
Can I just direct people to page 6 of that worksheet? And that sheet is all about moving forward. And it really guides you in terms of some key questions about what sorts of information you're collecting already, how you're doing it, what do you have a clear framework? How do I explain to clients? If any of you feel like that is an area that you would like to learn more about, the education committee need to know that, because that's a webinar that we can put on for you. It might be that we need to develop some sort of way of helping you with collecting good quality information. Because at the end of the day, even if you do the 4 webinars and you choose not to collect data, if we have good quality practice with collecting good quality information in your clinics, which impacts how you work, then that's a big tick. That's fantastic. It's a great outcome.
That might
And
be.
also some websites and the implementation phases on page 6. So there's a lot of information there for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosemary. All right, that would be a great note to leave it on. If everyone's happy with that, we'll finish the webinar. Thanks everyone for your attendance. I look forward to seeing you all. We look forward to seeing you all at the next one. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris.